Can't try to be cute about this one.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. A lot of little phrases come to mind, but none of them seem quite right when it comes to today's unemployment report. We knew it was going to be a big number, but it's more than any economist was predicting. Employers cut 598,000 jobs in January. That's the most since the end of 1974. The unemployment rate is 7.6%. Bernard Baumol with the Economic Outlook Group is with us. Bernard, what do these numbers say to you about the severity of the recession at this point?
It tells us that the economy is nowhere near yet bottoming out, that we are truly facing, coming face to face with the depression monster.
January tends to be a tricky month, though, for these numbers. Can you explain that?
Yes, it is. And the reason is because a lot of businesses have taken a look at the economic outlook and see nothing but bleak news ahead. And what they've done is they've made a decision late last year that they were going to significantly trim their payrolls. But they waited, of course, until after the holiday season. And so that's why January, we really did see this significant spike in layoffs. It may very well continue for the next 2 or 3 months, but I do expect it will level off and probably decline as we go into the spring and summer quarters.
Why is Wall Street not diving on this news this morning?
Well, I think the psychology of the market is focused a great deal on the stimulus package. If Wall Street saw that Congress was simply arguing among themselves and delaying the completion of an economic stimulus program, then I could see the markets react very badly. But now that we're seeing just a consistent stream of economic reports showing just how dire the situation is, it puts a lot more pressure on Congress to get things done. And I think the markets do expect to see an economic stimulus package in the works very soon.
Bernard Baumol is Managing Director of the Economic Outlook Group. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Wall Street's counting on the Senate to give its okay to the stimulus plan today. So far, the Dow is up 121 points, 1.5% to 8,184. The NASDAQ also up 1.5%. The S&P 500 up 1.3%. Shares in Europe are up too, and Asian markets ended their day higher. In this environment, it's not easy to tell a good investment from a bad investment. I get it. But is that the government's excuse? A congressional watchdog says taxpayers overpaid by the billions when they bailed out troubled financial institutions. The worst investments were, can I get a drum roll, please? Citigroup and AIG. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
The report found that Treasury overpaid by $78 billion. Harvard professor Elizabeth Warren chairs a panel that keeps tabs on the bailout. She says Treasury lost money on nearly all of its investments, but those losses varied.
For every $100 invested in Wells Fargo, for example, Treasury got back about $93. By contrast, with Citigroup, it got back about $62.
In the report, the independent firm Duff & Phelps compared government bailouts to investments made by the private sector. It found private firms made a killing, even as taxpayers got bilked. Berkshire Hathaway's $5 billion investment in Goldman Sachs in September had an immediate return of 10%. That means Warren Buffett's firm made $500 million in one day, if anyone's counting. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Fannie Mae will start a new program in April to break up the logjam for mortgage refinancing. Reports say the company plans to drop some credit score requirements and, in some cases, waive the need for appraisals. This is the Morning Report for Friday, February 6th at Marketplace.org. We mentioned that the unemployment rate is now at 7.6%. A lot of states are already running out of money to cut benefit checks. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
States pay for unemployment benefits through a tax on employers. Usually it's enough, but this economy is not usually. 20 to 30 states could use up their unemployment reserves within the next month. What do they do then? Moses Carey is with the North Carolina Employment Security Commission.
At some point in the near future, we may need to borrow money from the federal government.
The last time states borrowed heavily from the feds to cover unemployment costs was in the early 1980s. Rich Hobby at the National Association of State Workforce Agencies says back then, 30 states had outstanding federal loans.
And it took them until the late 1980s to repay those loans.
The interest rate on those borrowed funds is zero if the money's paid back within the year. If not, the interest rate rises to 4.8%, steep compared to the rate banks have to pay, now around 0.5%. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
It's a doozy of a day for Toyota. It forecast a $5 billion loss for this fiscal year, and its credit rating got downshifted by two agencies. Times are tough for all car makers. Perhaps the only market still looking okay at this point is China. It reports numbers next week. For the first time, sales may exceed those in this country. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong has that.
January auto sales in China are expected to come in around 800,000 vehicles. That's 20% higher than U.S. sales. Now, this is just 1 month, and the image here is not exactly a Chinese roadster zooming past an American one. It's more of a wheelchair race. Michael Dunn is with J.D. Power and Associates.
You've got the Chinese puttering along and the U.S., against all expectations, going backward down the highway.
Eventually, Dunn expects U.S. sales to nose back ahead. But in the long term, he says the Chinese market is priority one for every automaker on the planet.
It is where the growth is, and if you want to be around 10 years from now, you better be competitive in China starting today.
The Detroit 3 faced the same challenge in China as they do back home, making little cars that sell. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
British Airways announced this morning a major loss in the final three quarters of last year, and as a result, it's freezing pay of its staff. That means 40,000 workers. Analysts say this could portend more troubles for other large European airlines. From Paris, Eric Campano reports.
British Airways lost about $100 million before taxes. The company blamed rising fuel costs and the declining value of the pound. But an industry analyst, Nick Van Den Broel of the French bank BNP Paribas, says there may have been another reason.
A sharp drop in the premium, so there's a lot of trading down from premium cabin to the economy cabin.
Since first and business class is more popular on long flights, he says, big national carriers like Lufthansa and Air France, which fly all around the world, are also being hurt. Virgin Atlantic already freezed its pay last month. And Van Den Broel says that's probably not the last of the cost-cutting among Europe's major airlines.
We're likely to see the sort of restructuring measures we saw after 9/11.
British Airways says it's opened discussions with unions about the freeze, and it says it can't imagine lifting it as long as this economic climate continues. In Paris, I'm Eric Campano for Marketplace.
Bernie Madoff is getting some competition. Today there's a court hearing on the first fraud case being linked to the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP. The Securities and Exchange Commission says an investment advisor in Nashville, Tennessee, bilked clients out of $6.5 million by using the TARP as an enticement. Here's more from Ashley Milne-Tite.
Financial advisor Gordon Grigg allegedly told clients he could invest their funds in debt guaranteed by the Troubled Asset Relief Program. In fact, no investment program exists that involves the TARP. Chris Brummer teaches law at Vanderbilt University in Nashville.
To the extent to which the government has been ineffective at communicating the function of the TARP to the U.S. public, you're always going to have opportunities for people to take advantage of this lack of information about the TARP.
By trying to hoodwink the investing public. He says Grigg wanted to lure clients with the idea that anything government-related meant a sound investment. He says with the public desperate to put their money somewhere safe, other financial fraudsters could also use the government as a marketing tool. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The National Safety Transportation Board usually focuses on commercial airline crashes. This week, they've been looking at air ambulances. In question are companies that send out choppers to rescue people and airlift them to a hospital. Jill Barchet has this look at how medicine and business collide.
As fans of the TV show MASH know, medical evacuation has been around for over a half century. But it's only recently grown to a $2.5 billion civilian business. In the last 10 years, the number of helicopter ambulances has doubled, but the number of accidents has skyrocketed. Last year, 28 people died in medevac crashes.
This has everybody's attention. We have an accident set of numbers that's completely unacceptable.
Thomas Judge runs a nonprofit medical evacuation program in Maine. He says it's not clear what's causing all these accidents, but he believes money is a factor. Helicopter companies charge $10,000 or more for each mission. If they don't pick up patients, they don't get paid.
They're under pressure to find, you know, flights because the revenue for the system is based on flights. That now we're making a decision that's not based on medicine. We're making a decision that's based on business.
Business concerns are also why many firms are not buying costly safety equipment. Dr. Kevin Hutton is with the Association of Air Medical Services, the industry trade group. He says helicopters are expensive and profit margins are thin.
Anytime we adapt, anytime we add a safety technology, anytime we do anything that's going to cost us additional money, we have no way of getting reimbursed for that right now.
Dr. Hutton predicts new safety costs will force air ambulance companies to retreat from some rural communities. If that happens, it could affect the health of people who live in small towns. Many of their hospitals don't have neurosurgeons or cardiac specialists, and they rely on air ambulances. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
There's a lot to process about the economic fallout, and we have plenty of tools for you at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice weekend.
American Public Media.